Blog Talk Radio.
Salam alaikum. Alaikum salam.
Namaste.
Shalom.
From Alaska
to Australia, Jamaica to Japan. Peace and love to every man and woman. Good people
in Japan.
Good people
in Kazakhstan.
Good people
in Ethiopia.
Good people
in Pakistan.
Good people
in Brazil.
Good people
in Colombia.
Good people
in Afghanistan.
Good people everywhere you go.
Weather. Turned off the air conditioner this morning, and I've had it off all day long. Beginning of the summer, it just seemed like we had unusually wet weather, and then unusually hot weather, and just hot and steamy, or rainy and flooding. But just reached a point this time of the year, finally, when the rainfall has subsided, and everything is just about getting back to normal, it looks like. Our river that runs across our property has been just full to practically overflowing for the last 3 months. And now today it is just down to about where it usually is, almost at about where it should be, but where it should be is not for me to decide. But it's looking more normal, and it's just about getting to the point where I feel we might be able to get out there, play a little bit in the river, and inspect the banks and see what kind of washout we've had after this heavy season of unusually heavy rains and flooding. I know there's a lot of bank work to be done, bank repair, but we'll get to that later. Right now I'm going to be talking about tarot, spiritual applications of tarot. And when it comes to the tarot, most people just immediately think about fortune-telling. and predicting the future. But there are actually a wide variety of other spiritual uses of the tarot that we can make use of. Things like meditation, communing with one's higher power, seeking assurance during times of difficulty, and more. You know, we can use the tarot to better understand ourselves and better see the connections linking us to the world of spirit and to one another. And to start out, I'd like to talk about spiritual growth. How can we use the tarot to gauge our own spiritual growth? And if you think of the tarot, you know, I tend to think of it as kind of like a phone line or a way that we can receive messages from the world of spirit, from our spirit guides, from our guardian angels, from our higher power or our higher self, just depending on your belief system and your worldview. Tarot, to me, is something that connects me to the world of spirit, as I understand spirit. And so, thinking in terms of that, it seems only logical that we should be able to use the cards to ask spirit about our spiritual progress, ask our higher power how we are doing, even ask for advice. You know, sometimes we may need to sit down and just take a moral inventory of ourselves, and sometimes we may need a little bit of help from the world of spirit. And we can sit down with a deck of tarot cards and just ask, you know, was I my best self today? Did I screw up in some fashion? Which usually is a definite yes with me. I normally screw up two or three times a day without even trying. And, of course, the big question, how can I do better? What advice do you have for me to be a better human being, to help me evolve and grow spiritually and to progress along spiritual lines? And we can do this by just sitting down with the tarot deck and laying out a general spread, you know, three cards, five cards, seven cards, 10 cards, Celtic cross, you know, whatever tarot spread that we're comfortable with, and just do a reading, just like any other reading, except in this reading, the question is going to be running along the lines, how am I doing on a spiritual level? And you can tailor the question, make it more specific, and then just ask spirit the question, shuffle the cards, deal them, and interpret them. And you can use any kind of a card spread that you like, or you can develop a tarot spread that's more to the point, something along the lines of a spiritual growth spread. And if you've read through the tarot cookbooks, different books on tarot spreads, you know, you can see there are dozens of different tarot spreads for dozens of different questions, including spirituality and spiritual growth. I have one that I'm developing, and actually it's a simple one. I like to keep my tarot spread simple. And, you know, if you're new at tarot, you might want to use a tarot cookbook or a tarot handbook to kind of guide you through the spreads. But don't be afraid to make up your own tarot spreads. You know, something that makes sense to you. You can start out learning the tried and true tarot spreads like Celtic Cross or what have you. But then after time, feel free to make up your own spreads. It took me a while to get to that point. I would just use the tried and true tarot spreads, and then my creative side started budding out, and I wanted to experiment with a few spreads of my own. And surprisingly to me, in the beginning, looking back, it really shouldn't have been a surprise, but at the time it was a surprise, I found out that my tarot spreads that I had crafted worked just as well as the spreads that I was getting out of the tarot handbooks and Celtic Cross or what have you. So if you want to create your own spiritual growth spread, go right ahead and do it. I did one just a few days ago based on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, and it's a 10-card spread where you lay out the cards in the pattern of the Tree of Life. If you've seen that, you can find it on the internet. I don't think I put a picture of it up in the slideshow for today's program, but I will put it up on next week's program. But what you have is the first card being at the very top, and then cards coming down two columns, one on the right-hand column, which can be interpreted as positive energy, and one going down the left-hand column, which can be interpreted as negative energy. And then you have a column going down the middle, which will have three cards on it, and that is representing the moderating forces, moderating energy. And so what you can do in this spread is just start with card number one, realm number one, symbolizing the crown. And in this reading, in this way of reading, the first card represents your past spiritual energy, the spiritual energy that really forms the foundation of all that is to be revealed in the next nine cards. And then the second card along the right-hand column is going to represent your past positive energy. And then the third card down below on the left-hand column represents the past negative energy. And then you go to card number four. Again, you shift over to the right-hand column. And that is going to be your present positive energy. And then card number five is going to be down on the left-hand column. And that represents the present negative energy. And then we get the card number six. And this is going to go in between, practically in between, cards four and five. And this is going to represent the moderating force between the present positive energy and the present negative energy. And then you go to card seven, which is going to be back over on the right-hand column. And this is going to represent the future positive energy. And then card number eight on the left-hand column, and that is going to represent the future negative energy. And then practically in between card seven and eight, you then have card number nine, which again is going to represent the future moderating energy between the energies given by card seven and eight. And then finally, card number 10, which is at the very bottom, and that is going to represent the outcome. And what this spread does, it gives you an idea of the forces, the energies, which have been at work within your life, which we normally deem to be positive, along with the forces that have been active in your life, which we normally deem to be negative. And then the moderating forces that are in between those two extremes. And we can look at these energies and we can kind of meditate upon it. Ask yourself the question, okay, how have I been using the positive energy? Have I been using it to the best of my ability? How have I been handling the negative energy? Have I been trying to shift that over to a more positive use? Or have I just thrown my hands up in the air and said, oh, woe is me, poor me. I can't carry on. I don't want to carry on. And how do we use the moderating forces, the energy that helps us to reconcile the positive and the negative and help them to work together for the greater good? You know, have I been using this power, this force, which we all have, the ability to take the negative and turn it into a positive. Kind of like the old saying goes, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And the ability also to take the positive energy in life and use it to the best, not just for your own selfish gains, but also for the best for your community and your family, and just using it as a good foundation for continued spiritual growth. And it gives you the ability to kind of consider, meditate on these different spiritual energies and ask Spirit the question, you know, how well have I been doing? Where could I do better? And sometimes these questions are answered in the tarot reading itself, or a lot of times these questions are answered when we just look at the cards and then calm and quiet our minds and allow the still small voice of Spirit to speak to us within our own heart and within our own minds. And however you do it, if you use a tarot spread to ask the world of Spirit how you are doing spiritually, you know, however you do it, it is important to just take the time out, meditate on the question, meditate on the answer that the cards seem to be giving, and then meditate more deeply to hear the voice of Spirit, you know, within your own psyche, within your own heart, and be open to what Spirit has to say. And I think if you try this, if you're good at doing tarot readings for other subjects like who's going to win the World Series, or will my team come out okay, or am I going to be doing well financially this month, or are we going to be hurting? If you're good using tarot readings to answer those questions, I think you're gonna find that you are going to be at least equally good doing tarot readings to answer more spiritual questions and using it along spiritual lines. So that's one use of tarot relating to spirituality. Another is using the cards to gain guidance and assurance from the world of Spirit. You know, sometimes we go through times of trial and tribulation, uncertain times, and the question comes to mind, you know, am I going to make it out of this situation okay? Is there something that I should be doing that I'm not doing to help myself through this situation? Or, Spirit, have I done everything I can, and do I have to just kind of sit back and let the rest of the situation play out as it's going to play out, trusting that everything is going to work out as it should? And I found for myself, when I get into situations where I am beginning to have doubts, where I do need a little bit of reassurance, a lot of times I can just take a deck of tarot cards, ask Spirit, as I understand Spirit, hey, what's going on? Is everything going to be okay? Tell me what I need to know, please. And then shuffle the deck, lay out the cards, and 9 times out of 10, get the guidance that I need. And if it is a situation that I find myself to be very emotionally involved in, something where I may need a more objective reader to answer the question for me, I'm fortunate enough that I am married to a very good tarot reader, and she is able to read my cards and steer me straight. And even when I think that I'm reading the cards really well for myself, and I'm getting an answer that seems to be good out of the reading, doing the reading for myself, I still find that when my wife comes over and looks at the cards and gives me her interpretation of the reading, that a lot of times she will see in that reading something that I've missed, something that I've overlooked, something that wouldn't even normally occur to me. And so we can, if we're in times of difficulty, read the cards for ourselves and probably do pretty well. But if we are very much emotionally involved in the situation or distraught over the situation, it can be better. And I would actually recommend seeking the guidance and the service of another tarot reader and just talk it out. Tell the tarot reader, okay, what's going on in your life? And then formulate the question and then take it to the world of spirit through the tarot cards. And when we do this, a lot of times we get our question answered from two different voices. One voice is a voice of spirit speaking to us through the tarot cards. And the other voice is the voice of the second reader who tries to interpret what spirit is saying and also probably is going to give us his or her opinion what they see in the situation and kind of flesh the reading out from a more fuller perspective, if you will. Reading for yourself, you get two voices. You get your voice asking the questions, and then you get the voice of spirit answering the questions or perhaps giving you even more questions than you had originally. But when you have another tarot reader working with you, you have that third voice, which can really help to clarify some situations because, you know, we can and we do, and I recommend going straight to the world of spirit with our questions once we learn the fine art of tarot and divination. But, you know, the world of spirit and a deck of tarot cards is no substitute for human contact. And seeking advice from a flesh and blood human being that you know, that you respect, and that you trust. And if this person is tuned into the world of spirit on, you know, a pretty deep level, that's all for the best. And so you get the best of three worlds. Your voice, the voice of the tarot reader, and the voice of spirit answering your question. So we can use tarot to ask the world of spirit, how am I doing spiritually? What are my flaws? What are my strengths? How can I be better? What recommendations do you have for my continued spiritual growth? And then we can also use the cards to just gain assurance that even when we go through dark times, in times of great difficulty, we can listen to the voice of spirit speaking to us either through the cards or in our hearts or through some other human being and be reassured that, hey, it may look tough. Times may look pretty dark right now, but things are going to get better. Carry on, wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done, to quote an old, old song. Well, not that old, but it's getting up there. I'm going to take a break and play a instrumental piece of music. This one's called Dreams About the Argo. right. There's a couple other applications of tarot along spiritual lines I want to deal with in tonight's broadcast. The next one is using the cards as a focal point in prayer. Now, no matter what religious tradition you belong to, I think practically everybody that I've been exposed to anyway agrees that if you offer up your prayer with the ability to feel, you know, feel passionately about what it is you're praying about or for, and with the ability to visualize what it is you would like to see, if you can ask for it in prayer, see it in prayer, visualize it, and feel it in your heart on an emotional, spiritual level, you know, your prayer is going to be far more effective. Wiccans and neo-pagans talk along these lines. Folks who are into ceremonial magic, you know, talk about this and discuss it. Shamanic spiritual traditions hit along this formula. And even in the Christian tradition, Norman Vincent Peale, in his book The Power of Positive Thinking, hits on this formula too. And he recommends that when you're praying for something, you have to believe that the God or Goddess of your understanding hears you, wants you to have what is good for you, and if you can visualize the outcome, it adds more power to your prayer request. Now, this is a difficult area for me because I'm one of those folks that just has a lousy ability to visualize. You know, maybe I've just watched too much TV over the course of my life, but I can visualize things great when I'm dreaming. When I'm in the dream state, oh, yes, visualization is good. But when I'm awake and in prayer and trying to visualize something, it doesn't always work out too well for me. But now that's where tarot can be used as a crutch. Because if we cannot visualize our prayer request satisfactorily, or at least in a way that seems satisfactory to us, we can go through the tarot cards and find a card which seems to picture our prayer request, and take that card out of the deck, set it up where you can look at it, set it up on your bookshelf or on your prayer table or on your altar, and just focus on it, meditate on it, visualize your prayer being heard by the ear of Spirit, the God of your understanding, the Goddess of your understanding. And then use that card to visualize your request, your need, your petition, not just being heard, but being answered. And then feel it in your heart that this prayer has been heard by the world of Spirit, and that Spirit is going to do what needs to be done. It's going to give you the power that you request, the assurance that you need, whatever it is, Spirit is going to stand behind you, and just feel that assurance. So, for example, if you are praying for a person who is going through a problem pregnancy or having health problems, you know, pertaining to a pregnancy, you might go through your tarot deck and pick out the Empress. Usually in most tarot decks, the Empress shows a rather pregnant-looking woman sitting comfortably in a field of flowers. And you might take that card out to symbolize your request of this problem pregnancy being addressed in such a way that both mother and unborn child are going to be given health, that they are going to come through this problem okay, and both will, the pregnancy will come to term and just be handled well. Spirit will give you the energy, give her the energy to see this thing through and in a healthy, beneficial manner. If we're worried about finances and your prayer is about financial security or abundance, you might pick a card like the Ten of Coins or Ten of Pentacles or the Six of Pentacles. You know, whatever speaks to you, whatever you think speaks to your situation, and just dig that card out, look at it, meditate upon it, and then use that to try to visualize your prayer being heard and your prayer being answered. So we can use tarot in that manner, not just listening to Spirit giving us the answers, but helping ourselves visualize our request to the world of Spirit, and then using that symbology to better interact with the world of Spirit. Now, there's another way that we can use the tarot in prayer. And if you're familiar with praying the rosary, you know, that is basically five groups of 10 beads all on a chain or a string, and a few other beads along the way, too. I forget how many beads. I think something like 55, 56 beads in your average rosary. And you finger the beads and say a certain prayer with each bead. And once you get through all 55, 56 beads, you've prayed the rosary. You can approach tarot in a similar way. You can pray the tarot like some people pray the rosary. Only instead of having a standard prayer which is associated with each card, what you do is you look at the card and then meditate on the meaning that that card has. And then remind yourself what that card means, kind of like a flashcard almost. Review the spiritual meaning that that card has for you, and then you relate that to the next card in the sequence. Like if you're starting, well, I recommend starting with the Major Arcana. You start with a Fool and ask yourself the question, okay, what energy does the Fool represent spiritually to me? And then you ask yourself the next question, how does that relate to the next card in the Major Arcana, which is, of course, going to be the Magician? For the sake of example, okay, the Fool represents raw, creative energy descending from the world of Spirit, going off on an adventure, traveling to into worlds below to further its growth. So it's like the pioneer, the growth card, the energy which starts off a great and noble enterprise, in this case, Spirit descending into the material world. And then you relate that to the next card in the pack, which is going to be the Magician. And what does the Magician do with that creative energy, that energy of Spirit descending into matter? Where the Fool kind of falls from the world of Spirit into the world of matter and does so kind of haphazardly, the Magician adds the force of will to the equation. So we have the creative energy of the Fool coming into matter and then meeting the Magician, who then directs this energy in such a way that he is able to create what it is he wants to see. Those of you who are familiar with tarot books which speak of the Fool's journey, this is very, very similar to my idea here of praying the tarot. It's just that you carry it on a little bit further. You carry it on not just the fool meeting the magician, but the fool morphing into the magician. And then that energy morphing from the magician into the energy of the high priestess. And then the energy of the high priestess morphing into the energy of the empress, and so on and so forth. So one benefit of this way of praying the tarot, it's actually twofold, probably more than just twofold, but it allows you to meditate on the spiritual energy that makes up the universe and see how it relates to the other energies around us, how it all descends from a common source and returns to a common source. And it also, if you are new to the study of tarot, or if you've been reading tarot for years, it's a good exercise in allowing yourself to see how one card relates to another. And in doing this exercise, you can take the textbook interpretations from your favorite tarot guidebook and use that in your practice of praying the tarot, or you can just look at it and intuitively ask yourself the question, what does this card mean to me? How do I see it? How do I interpret it? And remember also to leave your ears open to the world of spirit, who might take this opportunity to further instruct you in the deeper meaning of tarot. There are the meanings that we get in the tarot handbooks and textbooks, and then there are also deeper meanings that we get just from our own experience and our own periods of meditation and prayer that we use using the tarot. And so this can be a learning experience as well on several different levels. And in order to do this, you can't just take a deck that is mixed up and shuffled. You have to lay it out in order. So take some time to take a deck that you would like to use for the practice of praying the tarot, and then line up the cards just almost as if they were in a new deck. You know, from the fool to the magician, on and on until you get to the universe, and then take your suit cards, starting with wands, and line them up from king to 10. Now, when I first started practicing this, that way of ordering the cards seemed strange to me, because I was used to thinking in terms of the progression of the suit going from like ace to 2 to 3 and then on up to the face cards, page, knight, queen, and king. And for me, when you're laying out the cards from king to 10, it seemed to be going in kind of a reverse order, that you're starting with the king and then descending down to the queen and the knight and the page, and then starting back at the beginning again with the ace, and then working your way back up to the 10, it seemed to be going kind of cockeyed to me at first. And I believe that is because I was operating with the understanding of evolution that most of us have, as that being that evolution progresses in an orderly, progressive manner. That we start out with the lower organism, like the amoeba, and then we progress up to the level of the fish and the reptile, and then we continue to progress up to the ape, and then from there we progress to modern-day human being, and then, glory hallelujah, we've reached the end of the story, and that's it. But actually, if you're progressing along spiritual lines, you begin to understand that evolution is not an orderly process like that. It doesn't start off low and then gradually progress up until you get to the crowning point of creation. It's a process that has its ups and its downs, its cycles. Now, you start off at a high point, you go down into the lower realms, and then you go back up for a little ways, and then you crash right back down to the lower realms, and so on and so forth. You have a cycle of advancement and progress, followed by a period of regress or de-evolution. So you have an ebb and a flow, a cycle of progress and regress. And that's just the way of the universe. That's the way we learn our lessons. We go as far as we can to learn one lesson in one spiritual realm or the material realm, in one aspect of the material realm. And then we kind of top off there, and then we descend again. And we descend so we can go into a new realm, a new area of learning, a new area of study. And we have our ups and downs in that area of study, that realm of human experience. And then finally we top off, reach our zenith at that point, and then again crash back down to the very beginning in another realm, another area of human endeavor, until we begin to make upward progress again. And we just see a cycle of going up and down, up and down. It's been spoken of by historians as being the cycle of civilizations. You know, the Roman Empire had its time. There was a time when the Roman Empire was not. Then it peaked and almost conquered the entire known world, and then it collapsed. And we see the same story repeating with other empires. Empires have their rise, and empires always have their fall. And it's the same with spiritual matters. You know, we have a rise and a fall, an evolution and a de-evolution. And that's just the cycle. And if you lay the cards out, starting with the suit of wands and going from king to ten, you have that. You start off with a high point. You then go down a little ways, progress back up to the ten. And when you finish out the suit of wands, representing the realm of fire, passion, and creativity, then you start off with the king of the suit of cups, representing water and love and the emotions. And you start off with the king and go on down to the two and the three, and then work your way back up to the ten. And then you go into the suit of swords. Once you get done with the ten of cups, you go to the king of swords and then work your way up and down through that suit. And then finally end up in pentacles from the king on all the way to the ten of pentacles. And you have to take your cards and lay them out in that order. The fool to the universe, as far as the major arcana is concerned, and then break your deck up into the various suits, and then take the suit of wands and line that up from king to ten, and then the suit of cups, line that up from king to ten, and swords, king to ten, and pentacles, king to ten, and then put them all together, and your finished product will be pretty similar to a brand new tarot deck, perhaps with a few minor exceptions. And then you'll have the deck ordered in such a way that all 78 cards will begin to play into one another. You'll start off with the fool and then see how the fool's energy interreacts, interplays with that of the magician, and so on and so forth, until you have finally progressed from the fool to the Ten of Pentacles. And if you go through it prayerfully, meditatively, and don't try to rush, just kind of take your time with it. It's going to take some time. When I do it, it takes me about an hour and a half to do it. If I'm hurrying through it, I can whiz through it in about 1 hour. But take your time with it. This is worth taking some time with. And you can see how the energy goes from the Fool on down to the Ten of Pentacles and see how these different energies interact with one another, how they all work together, and how in the end you will get a feeling that when you're dealing with a tarot deck of 78 cards, it's not really 78 cards, but there's actually a common energy which descends from the Fool on down to the Ten of Pentacles, which unites the major arcana and the minor arcana and the four suits and the royals all together. And this is a good practice for learning the tarot. It's a good exercise because, again, when we first look at a tarot deck for the first time, we think that there are 78 cards there, each with 78 different meanings, different interpretations, and in order to do a good tarot reading, we have to learn all 78 different interpretations and 78 meanings. But when we begin to see how interrelated the cards are and how interrelated these cards can be when we're doing a reading and doing a reading well, you know, then we begin to see that there is a common thread which runs through this entire progression from the Fool to the Ten of Pentacles, the common thread of the Fool's journey, which we can see if we take it slowly and meditatively. I'm going to pause and do a play a little piece of music. The Seagull. This is a little instrumental. Thank you. Okay, well, that was my presentation on tarot spiritual applications, and I think I about covered what I intended to cover. One thing I wanted to talk about, and I think I'm going to save that for my next broadcast on Tuesday at 6, is using tarot to talk to the dead. Now, this may sound kind of funny, but I've actually done it, and it works. But it does raise some deeper questions. Talking to the dead, is it possible? Obviously, I believe that it is. Is it profitable? I mean, is it something that we should be doing? And I think that is, you can say yes, you can say no, it depends. To me, it depends on various factors, various situations. It's not something that is to be entered into lightly. It's an ability that we can cultivate. It's something that is definitely possible. Just because somebody has passed on into the world of spirit doesn't mean that they are lost to us forever. Doesn't mean that we can't say hello from time to time. But what are some of the questions pertaining to talking to the dead? What are some pitfalls that we need to look out for? When are there some circumstances where we clearly should not be doing it? And what are the circumstances when we should be doing it? I think it's an art that can be helpful, and it is also an art that can slow a person down, can actually slow more than just one person down. And I'll get into a deeper discussion on that this Tuesday at 6 p.m., talking to the dead, pros and cons. Until then, I'm wishing you all a peaceful rest of the evening, and if you feel like you'd want to learn more about the Temple of the Infinite Universe, check out our website at www.hermetictemple.com. And we will see you again on Tuesday. And I am going to depart playing our usual instrumental piece, Gandhi's Triumph, by Celtic Reggae Revolution. Blessings.